flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics,
spicy pulls,
salty plays,
the sweet taste of victory,
and the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces
and umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together
for a gathering,
a potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic. Welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Nat.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're going to warm things up a little bit. Last episode we talked about snow, and boy, did it snow.
Yeah, we got dumped on both of our locations. And I think the episode kind of bridged everything from out west to out east. Are bad?
Yeah, so sorry if our episode caused inconveniences for you this week. We did not mean for it to snow so much.
We just wanted you to be cozy and warm at home by making it cold outside so you'd spend more time catching up on episodes you missed.
True. I'm going to go off topic here before we get into our topic, but we saw that there's a card coming out for 10th District Hero. And if you missed the episode where Matt talks about this character, it was the episode where Matt's kitchen was on fire. So that was like episode 3, I think. So if you want some cool lore for some upcoming cards, check that episode out.
And listen closely to other and future episodes just in case our fire alarm makes another guest appearance. It may or may not have gone off a few times in between episodes. And not going to lie, last time it went off, I made sure to record it so we can start using it as a revisited sound effect.
I think you need to evaluate your cooking skills if your fire alarm is going off this much.
It's only when the oven is at 400 or above and you open it and any steam or smoke or anything comes out, it just sets it off. And we have a really good ventilation system in our kitchen, too. So I think it's just the design of the house. The worst is that all of the smoke detectors, I mean, really well wired in the house. They're just all over the place. And one triggers the next, which triggers the next. So it's a scramble through the house on who can turn off and each one in sequence. It's like a puzzle.
Well, speaking of burning the house down, today we're going to talk about Burn.
Burn is one of those tried and true, long-standing, I'd say sub-archetypes, as opposed to like a full archetype.
Yeah.
But back when I first started in Magic in the 90s, yeah, I'm old, I still remember making mono-red Burn decks, and it was just pretty much lightning bolts, fireballs, tons of spells, tons of damage. Like the closest thing we had to meme decks back then were as many mountains as possible and then fireballs and just pray you outlasted being swung at to where you can just hit them with a big X spell.
Just throw a blood moon in there and you'll be good. Yeah, so Burn. Burn is, like you said, it's been around forever. And, you know, I talked to my husband actually a little bit about it. He asked what our episode was on for this one. And I said, Burn. And he was like, you know, red needs more variety because, you know, basically red has Burn. Mm-hmm. And you think about how the other colors lately have evolved to have, you know, kind of things that they might not necessarily be known for. But you know, red just it keeps on burning.
The thing that seems to, and I hate using the word creep into it because it's not really a power creep thing, but I feel like with red, we also get treasure has been kind of a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, when I was looking at artifacts, I always remember artifacts being colorless from when I first started playing, and noticing how artifacts are kind of coming into each unique color too on their own, especially like blue has been one of the main ones, but it seems like it's slowly going into red too. And digging around on just cards that fit the basic aspect of burn, of just do a damage if this happens or tap to do a damage, there is some crossover to Rakdos a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I if y'all didn't see the video that Mental Misplay posted this week, he interviewed me at Magic Summit and asked me which color pairing has the worst players. And I said Rakdos.
Not a lie.
Because of burn. You know, it's, you can only play so much removal and counters, and like you said, there's been some power creeping in red, and it can be difficult to deal with. You know, someone said that they played Rakdos and they played a burn spell and hit someone for 75 damage. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Oh, you froze. Oh, there you go.
I was to say, if I keep freezing, you might have to use a burn spell to thaw me out. Didn't you recently start working on another Oathbreaker deck with Angrath?
I do have a Rakdos deck, yeah. It's Angrath, but it's less burn. It's actually amassing.
It's not the Minotaur Pirate one.
Correct. It's the amass one.
Okay.
I built that one because I had two preview cards for Lord of the Rings, and they both were mass spells. One was red, one was black. And so I wanted to incorporate them in a deck. And a mass doesn't have, well, it has a little bit more support now with, is it Sauron or Saruman? One of them, maybe both of them. They both do a little bit of a mass.
Sauron, I know, does. Yeah. I think they both do.
But I didn't want to build a full commander deck around amassing, so I decided to build an Oathbreaker deck. But that deck doesn't really have that much burn. Even my signature spell is just giving my creatures double strike. I rely a lot more on combat damage than burning. However, I did recently build someone a Rakdos deck. Well, I built two people, technically, a Rakdos deck for their Secret Santa deck.
It was a package deal.
Yeah, that is a secret. It is a burn deck. It's secretly, well, it's got graveyard stuff, but it's secretly a burn deck. It's a secret Dragon's Approach deck. Classic burn spell right there. Mm-hmm.
I always remember Rachel Weeks has a Dragon's Approach deck that is just a blast. Literally.
Yeah.
You.
Blasting people in the face. But when we talk about burn, and we think about our flavor hex, where do you think burn kind of falls on here?
I mean, naturally, you'd kind of go with spicy, thinking of heat. But honestly, I'd say it's more savory umami, because you're really building and stoking a fire. You're trying to kind of keep that warmth going. It's not so much, I mean, sure, it's a lot of burn is hitting you one here, one there, but it's a steady build. It's a lot of repetition. I went back and looked at the closest thing I've made to a burn type deck in Commander, and it's my Squee the Immortal deck. Mm. And the whole deck is themed off of the movie Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And it's just everything keeps coming back. So every turn is just a repetition of the previous going down the line. It's like, okay, I'm going to go with Impact Tremors, or what is it, Blister Spit Goblin, or Bitter Spit Goblin, where it's tap and do one, cast a non-creature, untap it, just keep repeating the process. But it's really that entirety of a turn is that life of the fire. An article I was reading the other day on, I think it was MTG Salvation, broke down Burn Deck in the science of fire, which I thought was clever, looking at it in the sense of the chain reaction between heat, oxygen, and fuel, and kind of looking at how you would layer everything together. How about you?
Yeah, I wonder if burn is less a segment on the flavor hex, but part of the cooking, if we think literally about fire, part of the cooking device. Mm-hmm. Burn doesn't have to be red. Mm-mm. We typically think of it as red, but it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everyone sneaks at least one of those direct damage cards into their decks. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, if it did, umami, I agree. I think it depends on the spell. You could have a very spicy burn spell.
It also depends on the format, too, I'd feel.
Yeah.
Because looking at, what is it, the original trifecta of kind of archetypes, was it control, aggro, and combo? Mm-hmm. It's like you'd naturally kind of think, oh, burn falls under aggro. But in a way, it also kind of falls under control and can also fall under combo. Mm. It's sort of ever present. I think your concept of it's like a core to cooking is that it is really always there. And I know this week, a lot of us could use some of that extra heat.
Yeah. So when you think about burn spells, Matt, do you have like one that like comes to mind that's like one of your favorites?
Oh, I mean, Blisterspit Gremlin, that's what it is, the one I was thinking of earlier. That's one, it's just a little common, one drop, one in tap, deals one to each opponent. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you untap it. I feel like that one has given a lot of work from a creature standpoint, because you, for burn, a lot of it is quick, cheap, fast. But if I wanted to look at the more traditional side, sucker for Lightning Bolt. Mm. You know, it's one of those ones that is always going to be there. I mean, there's a lot to choose from. If I wanted to go with kind of a different type of card, thinking on an Oathbreaker standpoint, Zariel, Archduke of Avernus, because you start creating for zero the 1/1 red devil that when it dies, it deals one damage. And I always love the devil tokens for that. And there are a couple of cards that let you just sort of create them. I think one of them is very close to the phrase along the lines of burn it down the house.
I love that card. I actually use one for a Oathbreaker deck that I helped build with my husband for him, because he wanted an Oathbreaker deck. He built Comet, the dog.
Oh, yeah.
And so we ended up using Comet Storm as the signature spell, which mm-hmm. is absolutely a burn spell. Not hit everybody in the face. I have two other ones that are kind of up there for me. One is mm-hmm. Skullcrack. Mm-hmm. It's only 2 mana, instant. Players can't gain life this turn. And damage can't be prevented this turn. That is a biggie for me. And it deals 3 damage. It's, you know, it's just a normal 3 damage. But those extra things on it, like, mm-hmm. Great. Because then, you know, if someone tries to find ways to save themselves by gaining life, they can't. Or they try to prevent the damage, then it just can't happen. And the other one is Searing Blaze. It's a landfall one.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Well, it's still an instant, but it deals 1 damage to target player and 1 damage to target creature that player controls. But if you had a land enter the battlefield under your control this turn, it deals 3 damage to that player and 3 damage to that creature instead.
Ooh.
So it's also 2 mana, but it's kind of like a sneaky, like extra little flavorful, kind of punchy in the face.
One silly one that I like using in my Groundhog Day deck is Hanabi Blast.
Mm.
And it's just an uncommon 2 red and a colorless for an instant. It deals 2 damage to target creature or player, but then you return it to your hand, to owner's hand, and then discard a card at random. But if you start throwing things out like Underworld Breach, or if you start playing into Rakdos where you can start bringing stuff out, you can get a little bit of value out of it. And that's just kind of fun for a little repetitive silliness. And also the art on it is great. It's a little Aki, the kind of goblins from Kamigawa firing a magical bazooka.
A magical bazooka. Mm-hmm.
Goblins also sort of set you up for opportunities with burn with Goblin Bombardment.
That's true, yeah.
And there are a lot of little enchantments that kind of keep stoking the fire for you or allow you to throw more fuel on it.
My favorite, you know, like I said, you can always throw a burn spell on a deck, and I don't typically play as many in my commander decks. Where you most find me playing burn is actually in limited. I really like going red in limited. And I'll find another color pairing depending on the set, I guess, and what other cards are available. But yeah, I've always had the best success in my like limited quote unquote career. Cause like I don't really like, I play limited for fun. I'm not like one of those people that like competes in it.
Yeah, I'm like a pre-release if friends invite me or I remember. And I'm the same way. If it's a pre-release, I'm not going to go all the way. I'm lucky if I get one prize pack. So I always throw red in because it's a guaranteed, hey, I did one damage.
Yeah, so red, I've had the most success with red. Like probably if I like think back to my most successful drafts, War of the Spark, I went Izzet, and because I pulled a Ral and just went burn, like straight Izzet spell slinging, like nonsense, and no one could keep up with it. And I actually went undefeated in that draft.
Oh, nice.
That was the first always fun. I ever did too. So that was kind of insane. I was not ready for that. And then All Will Be One, we talked about that one. Red with the oil counters.
Yep.
I don't remember what other color I went. I might have gone Rakdos, maybe. I went Izzet.
I went Gruul on that one because that was one of the pre-releases I think I went to. And that got out of control. I didn't do very well, but it got out of control.
Yeah, I went oil counters on that. So it wasn't complete burn, but I played red in it. So there was some in there. And then the most recent set I've drafted was Wilds of Eldraine. And I went Gruul on that one. And again, I threw in a couple burn stuff, but I mainly had like just giant, crazy, gruff triplets creatures going crazy. So red is definitely like my pick if I'm playing limited and I don't know what I'm supposed to be drafting. So I feel like it's solid. Like burn is solid. Like it's reliable.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's comfortable, it's straightforward, it's something that anyone can really understand.
Yeah,
honestly.
And you know, I work a lot with magic kids, mm-hmm. and teaching magic to people, and burn's a really easy one to teach. You know, beyond creatures obviously, like if you can get a little bit of a kindred thing going, that that's easy to understand for people. Burn is also easy to understand for people because it's so direct. So you know, if a firebolt tells me to hit someone in the face for that much damage, then all I have to do is play it and hit that person in the face for that much damage. So or a creature. Yeah.
For getting the point across that, you know, games are all about the meaningful reduction of life totals.
Yes. Yep.
So, and that is a direct way.
Yep. Yep. So I think we'll still see burn lasting. It's just it's core. Like we talked about, it's a core cooking ingredient. So it's not something that's going to kind of dissipate as the game progresses. I think it could even possibly become more power creepy as it goes on.
So we talked earlier about red being very firmly associated with burn, that there hasn't been a lot of growth. We kind of looked at little things that expanded. It seems a lot of the growth really comes from combination, like thinking Boros, Gruul, Izzet, Rakdos. It still has that kind of burning sort of a damage ramp feeling to it that enhances, I'd say, more than balancing the other side.
Yeah, I like the burn ramp. I think that's a good way to put it. We are getting so many cards that double, triple, quadruple, however further it's going to go, the damage you deal to people. And, you know, also, the more cards we get, the more opportunities there are for combos.
Well, you mentioned doubling and tripling, and there's a lot of talk about cards like Ohirtok, the Deepest Foundation, where we're getting triple tokens and how mm-hmm. it's kind of building off of Anointed Procession and making something that gives you more. And then what is it? Impact Tremors, where whenever a creature enters the battlefield, suddenly you're ramping that damage mm-hmm. in a different way.
That's a classic card, though. Impact mm-hmm. Tremors is so good.
It goes well in everything. Any deck where you can use it, you'll get value out of it.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see where it goes. Because like I feel like at some point we're going to hit a ceiling, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's one for you. Looking at we're in the middle of preview season for Murders of Karlov Manor. And when the Commander precons were released, a lot of people started noticing in those and a few of the other releases that we're seeing three colors coming mm-hmm, up.
Yeah.
The promo cards that are only in the pre-release packs, sort of from a flavor standpoint, demonstrating the shifts away from the guilds or kind of the evolution of things. And we haven't gone back to Alara, where we saw the shards and a lot of the three color. Also, I think was Tarkir the other one that kind of brought about the three yeah. color pairings? Those were all when I was out of Magic, but it's almost like those are coming back. The last time we really saw a big focus on three color was New Capenna.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe that's a way forward now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I feel like the set did really dive into two color pairing, though. It really did dive into the guilds. Mm-hmm. Like we just saw the new Mole God yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of people excited.
Ridiculous.
it's grueling.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how many cards you can make that all say you deal three damage to target player, you know, mm-hmm. or target creature or, to just a target in general.
I mean, you can always reprint it with new art or in the case yeah. of Lightning Bolt, partner up with Nerf and make a Nerf gun that's themed on it.
Did that happen?
Yeah. There was a secret lair.
I must have missed that one.
I don't think it was done through the Secret Lair website. I think it's just something they produced. I want to say I saw it even on Amazon, but it's a custom Nerf gun with lightning on it and fires three darts at a time and mm-hmm. came with promo lightning bolts that were, I don't know if it was new art or just a Secret Lair version or something.
You know what kind of burn I would like to see happen? And there's been a little bit of talks about this on social media lately. Some kind of burn that helps deal with the sheer disgusting amount of tokens that are being produced right now.
There is nothing disgusting about the amount of tokens being produced right now.
This goes for any token. This goes for creature tokens. This goes for food tokens, clue tokens.
Oh, God, clue tokens with a new set.
Like, we have been leaning hard into tokens. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, there's only so much removal and countering you can do. And I feel like red burn can be so single target mm-hmm. that we need a little bit more of an expansion beyond that in burn so that we can kind of help deal with the board states that are happening right now.
No, that's actually a good point. And I even say that staring at my partially constructed Thop It Like It's Hot Thopter deck, which builds tokens, or thinking of my Brimaz, which just makes cats. But yeah, there really isn't anything that deals with that effectively outside of the really traditional full partial board wipes you find in like mono white, or maybe like Cyclonic Rift when it's overloaded and sends everything back, but it could still return. Like treasures have really been ramping up over the past 2 years between New Capenna, I think it's Ancient Copper Dragon, where you can start mm-hmm. getting tons.
Baldur's Gate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was also the other ancient dragon, the ancient gold dragon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goldspan. Well, was it ancient gold dragon that did the fairy dragon tokens?
Mm-hmm.
Little D20. Yep. I mean, there's a lot. We saw it coming back in Lost Caverns with token generation. That would be an interesting kind of variation.
Because right now, green deals mostly with artifact and enchantment removal.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool, like, you know, how we talked about how burn and red hasn't really expanded much beyond what they're typically known for. It would be cool to incorporate some of that into red and burn. Mm-hmm. some more maybe artifacts. You know, you deal damage to artifacts and you deal one damage to each artifact. And I mean, the one damage doesn't really matter, but like any excess, I don't know. I don't know how you would design that, but like,
you know, what would be interesting. I don't know if there is one right now, cause I really don't play enough red. So I could be talking about a card that already exists. There's so many of them, but a targeted artifact removal, like a smelt kind of situation,
yeah.
Destroy the artifact, owner of that artifact creates a treasure. You know, it's like it's melted down for gold.
Oh,
so something with a cost, even.
Yeah,
a trade-off maybe. I mean, there's lots of ways to get creative. I think of cooking. There's a fantastic show on Netflix called Chef's Table that's, even if you're not into food, just for the visuals, it's beautiful. But one of the early seasons, there was a chef on there, one of the Michelin star ones, Francis Melmond. I believe he's Argentinian. And his whole thing is cooking with fire, like open flame, really creative. And it's a neat episode to watch because he's just out in the open in Patagonia, in the mountains, in the snow, just with big pits of fire, burying things underneath the coals. And it shows that there's variety to how you can use heat in cooking. You can get creative. You can adapt. You can mix. I mean, there's potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe the way to really start it is find ways to kind of use the color combinations of the guilds, of the shards to start and find those little pairings that give you a hint of burn and a hint of something else. And then use that to spin off into a straight mono red version of it because fire consumes. So
yeah.
Why can't fire consume something from another color to make it its own?
Yeah.
Use it to fuel the fire.
Feel the burn.
But as long as it's the opponent, not you.
Correct.
And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking magic.